Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We come to you live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Like every week, I'm alongside my co-host Fred Alvader, and I said we cover anything and everything golf, but today I have to say to Fred, hey, congratulations, Buckeye, national champions.
That's a good feeling, Carlos. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through the whole show tonight. I may nap off here. You may have to wake me up. You know, I stayed up way past my bedtime last night to watch those Buckeyes beat up on those Oregon Ducks and win the first ever college football championship. It was glorious. I absolutely loved it. But, Carlos, I'm going to really try because we are going to talk about Tiger. We're going to talk about Rory. And we have a super interview with Cindy Reed about golf in China. I'm really psyched about the interview. It was really good. Let's go.
Let's go, Buckeyes. Oh, no, let's go, golfers. We're going to start right away with the Par 5 news that is presented to you by United Golf Network. So, Fred, I believe you said it. We have to talk about Tiger. What's going on with Tiger Woods?
Well, he's announced via his website that he will play in the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is played on the same weekend as the NFL Super Bowl every year. You know, it kind of breaks the theory that a golf tournament cannot be successful and garner media notice versus football. On football's biggest weekend, it is the highest attendance of any PGA Tour event. It drew over 580,000 fans last year and is planning on over 600,000 this year, Carlos. The increase is partly due to Tiger's announcement, but it's also just, you know, it's a big party. The outdoor party that has become the 16th hole at TPC Scottsdale is one of the most unique venues in all of golf, the Stadium Hole. It seats in excess of 30,000 fans and gives the hole a Fenway Park feel. Tiger set the crowd on fire in 1997 there when he made a hole-in-one on the par 3. He also made headline news at this tournament when fans came to his aid in 1999 and moved that small impediment, you know, that waist-high 1,000-pound rock from his stymied lie in the waist area. Woods has not played here since 2001, and even with all those historic moments, it remains one of the few events he's never won. Tiger stated via his website, "It will be great to return to Phoenix. The crowds are amazing and always enthusiastic, and the 16th hole is pretty unique in golf." You know, Arizona favorite son Phil Mickelson is going to be in the field. He's won here on three separate occasions, and he's always one of the biggest draws. You know, Woods normally begins his year in the Middle East, you know, where he earns seven-figure appearance fees from the oil-rich sheiks, but you know, his slippage from the top of the world of golf ranking and sinking popularity rankings convinced tournament directors in Dubai and Abu Dhabi that other golfers were better economic bargains than Tiger. With no large appearance fees forthcoming, Woods needed a place to start his season, and the folks at the Phoenix Open won the lottery. Woods also announced that he would enter the Farmers Insurance Open the following week at Torrey Pines, February 5th to the 8th. In past years, Torrey Pines has been his first appearance on the PGA Tour. He has won that event seven times and also won the 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. The Waste Management Phoenix Open will now boast both Phil and Tiger in the field January 29th through February 1st. The biggest name in golf right now, Rory McIlroy, you're going to talk about him in a minute, will be playing in Dubai that week. But the golf boys, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, Hunter Mahan, Ben Crenshaw, they're going to be in the field, along with most of the other top names in American golf. The crowds will be even larger, and with Tiger there, they're going to be more rowdy. The atmosphere is going to be electric. Can you imagine what the final round will be like if both Woods and Mickelson are near the top of the leaderboard, or If they're paired together, oh, my goodness, Carl. It's going to be must-see TV in 2 weeks. Carlos, the European Tour hits kind of hitting their stride over there. They're really getting rolling in the Middle East this week, right?
Yeah, that's right. And let me tell you, the PGA Tour and the European Tour, they are starting to warm up their engines. It's just like the airline jets are starting to crank it up. You know, this week, the Sony Open is the PGA Tour's first full event of this year. We already saw it last week, this just past week, and Patrick Reed, yes, Patrick Reed joined an elite company there with Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia, and Phil Mickelson, all the only five, the quintet, to win five times before they are 25. So, hey, he's living up to the expectations, at least his, right? But, hey, this week, like I said, the Sony Open, first full event of the 2015. Although some players are still in their winter hibernation, such as Tiger and Phil, and others are at Abu Dhabi, the HSBC Championship, like Ricky Fowler. A good field is assembling, and among those making the 2015 PGA Tour debuts are Luke Donald, Sergio Garcia, Stuart Singh, John Daly, and Vijay Singh. You know, the tour will then move to the West Coast swing, where we'll see Phil Mickelson making his debut, season debut at the Humana Challenge next week. After a week after that, like Fred, you mentioned, we'll discuss further in the practice range. Tiger will make his season debut at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, then the Farmers Insurance, followed by the AT&T Payroll Beach Pro-Am, and closing with the Northern Trust. Then they will head east and really crank it up before taking on the Doral in March and the Masters in April. So the PGA Tour is really starting to swing very hard. Meanwhile, on the European Tour, like you mentioned, you know, the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship, although on paper isn't the start of the European Tour season, feels like it's exactly that with the field and prize fund on offer. Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and even Ricky Fowler made the trip over there to Abu Dhabi. This is the first of a three-leg swing around the northeast and southeast of the Arabian Peninsula. It is followed by the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters in Doha and the Omega Dubai Desert Classic in Dubai. Rory will play this weekend, will stay there at the Emirates, and play in 2 weeks in Dubai. So will Martin Kaymer and veteran Ernie Els. Henrik Stenson will play all three events. Justin Rose and Charles Schwartzel will be on the first two, while Sergio Garcia, Thomas Bjorn, and Stephen Gallagher will be in for the last two. Lee Westwood and G-Mac will make their debut in Dubai. So after that, the tour will be cranking it up through Asia and South Africa with Doral and Master stops in between. So both tours are starting to get heated up. Freddie, all in all, the main tours in men's golf is starting to wrap up their engines for the year, and so are we here at the Back Nine Report, and we'll be bringing it to you week in and week out.
Hey, Carlos, while Tiger and Phil are heading to the Arizona desert to start their 2015 campaigns here in a week or so, world number one, Rory, as you mentioned, will make his 2015 debut this week in Abu Dhabi, and he'll play in Dubai in 2 weeks' time. You know, evidently the Sheikhs used the money they didn't spend on Tiger to keep Rory in their tournament. The world number one, who will be making his ninth appearance in the tournament, will join defending champion Stephen Gallagher, world number two Henrik Stenson, Sergio Garcia, Martin Kaymer, Graham McDowell, and Lee Westwood, when he returns to the site of his first professional win in 2009. I believe he was 19 at the time. Pretty good win for the young guy. He was named Player of the Year on both sides of the Atlantic after topping the money list in both Europe and the United States last year. He enjoyed an unforgettable 2014 season, which included wins in, of course, the Open Championship and the PGA Championship, as well as helping Europe win the Ryder Cup, I believe. And he also won that WGC event, and I think that race to Dubai, and, you know, he had a pretty decent year last year, really. You know, Rory said, "I've got great memories of Dubai, and it will be fun to get back to the golf course where I have enjoyed success over the years." He won, he made his first start here in 2007 as a 17-year-old amateur. They gave him a sponsor exemption to come. So he's been very loyal to it. I think he even has a place there in Dubai. I think he spent some time there, especially over the winter. But more importantly, Carlos, I mean, that's the golf stuff with Rory, but really more importantly, there's some rumors around that Rory may have a new love interest.
No, what?
As a new year in golf commences, one of the game's dominant storylines remains Rory McIlroy's impending pursuit of the career Grand Slam at Augusta National in 3 months' time, but he reportedly celebrated the New Year's in style at Ashford with a new love interest. According to multiple reports, the lucky young lady is Erica Stoll, a 27-year-old PGA of America player, an older woman. He's going for the older woman, Carlos. There is an interesting story here, gang. At the 2012 Ryder Cup, you remember that one in Chicago at Medina? That's the one at the European Tour. The Europeans won. They win them all. But Stoll apparently was the person that informed officials that McIlroy was MIA before his Sunday singles match at Medina. You all remember when the police escort had to whisk Rory right up to the first tee and Medina jumps out of the car and goes over and starts hitting shots. Well, she was the young lady that worked for the PGA of America and had to tell people that they had to get him up there. You'll recall, too, that McIlroy spent the 2014 New Year's, this a year ago, getting engaged to tennis standout star Caroline Wozniacki in Sydney before calling it off in May. They said it wouldn't last, and it didn't, and subsequently going on a tear in which he captured, you know, all that hardware and cash and stuff that he won last year. So, Carlos, with a new matter of the heart, will McIlroy's rich vein of form continue in 2015, or will his golf game go down the tubes like 2013? Anyway, Rory seems to be leading the world rankings in the girlfriend category as well as the official world golf ranking. So stay tuned, because you know we just can't get enough of Rory's love life.
If I would be that girl, I would be worried. You know, the last girl that spent, you know, a significant time New Year's Eve, you know, we all know what happened. So I don't predict too much for that. But we'll see. Best of luck to him. Hey, let's talk about some of a star, David Duval. He's joining the Golf Channel as a studio analyst for some of the biggest tournaments, giving him a voice in the game at a time he can no longer rely on his health, and he will make his debut in 2 weeks at the Humana Challenge, where he shot that famous 59 in the final round 16 years ago during his rise to number one in the world. As you remember, David Duval's biggest win streak was between 1997 and 2001, when he won 13 PGA Tour titles. And he almost made a comeback in 2009 with the U.S. Open, but fell short. Anyway, Duval said he does not consider this a step toward retirement from the PGA. So the 2001 British Open champion has been coping with injuries for the better part of the last decade and has not had a full exam card on tour since 2011. The Golf Channel schedule should allow him to remain active for the few tournaments he can enter on his limited past champion status and whatever exemptions he is offered. He plans to play the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am next month. Still, this represents a big transition for a player who once was one of the strongest rivals to Tiger Woods at his peak. Duval did some TV work at the U.S. Open in 2012 at Olympic Club and has dabbled in television at some of the majors, along with the BMW Championship last year when it was held in Denver. Golf Channel plans to use him as a studio analyst for its pregame and postgame shows with Randall Shamley for the majors, WGCs, FedEx Cup playoffs, the Players' Championship, Florida Swing, and the President's Cup or Ryder Cup. David Duval is regarded as introspective and well-read, and at times self-deprecating. His last victory was the Dunlop Phoenix in 2001, the year he won the British Open at Royal Lytham in St. Annes. His game took a mysterious turn for the worst a few years later with a series of injuries, a drop in confidence, and a round of swing coaches. He pledged last year that he would stop asking for exemptions, and while he said it was important to honor that commitment, he made it on the assumption he would be in good health. He spent the second half of the year coping with a strain in his right elbow that led him to withdraw three times. Fred, a move to television for Duval, whether that becomes a full-time job or allows him to talk and play, was intriguing for him, so he's pursuing it. So we would like to wish him the best at whatever he does, David Duval.
You know, Carlos, I always enjoyed watching David play. His metamorphosis from kind of an overweight, pretty good golfer to a super fitness nut in unbelievable shape, playing the kind of golf that he played there for a couple years, it was unparalleled. I mean, he was right there with Tiger. He was as good as anybody ever has been and ever will be there for a few years. So, but you know what? I cannot say I'm a fan of his television commentary. I find it a bit slow. I know he's a really smart guy, but I'm not a David Duval TV fan. So I hope it works well for him. I like the guy. I would love to sit down and talk to him sometime, but you know what? I don't care to watch him. Hey, Carlos, award-winning golf writer Jaime Diaz, whom we had on the show last summer, wrote a very thorough piece in Golf Digest on the Ryder Cup meltdown. Yes, here we are, 3 months removed from the final bottle of champagne cork being consumed at Glen Eagles, and we're still talking Ryder Cup. This thing has become bigger than Tiger Woods, if that's possible. Diaz contends that the real problem with the U.S. team was the gigantic chasm between Captain Tom Watson and Phil Mickelson. Phil wanted to be the man, but Tom was the man, and he wasn't about to give his position of control over to Phil. To Tom Watson, all these guys are young guys. Even though Phil's over 40, Tom expected them to listen and play hard for him. Is that too much to ask? Phil felt left out, especially after Watson sat him out of both sessions on Saturday. The Phil outburst on Sunday in the press conference was unheard of in polite golf society. One simply did not upstage a Hall of Fame legend like Phil did at Glen Eagles. Diaz even points out the complete differences of the two men's personalities. You know, most people live in a gray world. For Tom, everything is completely black or completely white. He holds himself to absolutes, and he does it with people around him. It can make relationships difficult. In contrast, Mickelson is garrulous, highly social, unabashed show-off, often talks bigger than he can deliver. To the older generation of pros, he's often regarded as a hot dog. But many of today's younger players see him like a favorite uncle who is supportive and fun on the golf course or dinner table. Oh, let's have a blast. Let's go have a giggle. In his zeal to be positive and feel capable of the extraordinary, Mickelson likes to portray a wide-ranging expertise that has led to a long line of over-the-top statements. At the same time, because he takes being refuted with good humor, Mickelson is hard to dislike and raises a camaraderie in a team room. Tellingly, when Mickelson went 0-5 at the 2003 President's Cup, Captain Jack Nicklaus nonetheless called him the most inspirational member of the team. Yeah, that sounds like a joke to me. But it was the roles Watson and Mickelson assumed in this Ryder Cup that intensified their differences. At the direction of the then PGA of America President Ted Bishop, Watson was given the job to be his old school self and win on foreign soil as he had done in 93, and no U.S. captain had done since. Revenge for the Americans' excruciating loss at Medina would be the main motivator. He also wouldn't allow players to dictate strategy as Davis Love had done and caught a lot of grief for doing at Medina. Well, what this story ultimately boils down to is that the huge generation gap between 60-year-old Tom Watson, who grew up in a different era, and Phil Mickelson, who felt he knew better how to run the team. Problems began building even before the team reached Scotland, but things came to a real boil after Phil had talked Tom into substituting he and Keegan in the Friday afternoon foursomes instead of Spieth and Reed, which that turned out to be a big mistake. And Watson even later admitted that not sitting Phil and Keegan on Friday and playing them instead of Reed and Spieth was a mistake. Watson caught up to Mickelson and Bradley on the eighth tee on Friday afternoon. They were already three down, and they hadn't even hit a fairway in eight holes. Watson uttered, "When are you bleeps going to hit a fairway?" Then the problems continued when Watson sat Phil all day on Saturday. Well, everybody knows the rest of the story. Another U.S. loss to the Europeans in Ryder Cup. Tom Watson suffered a blemish on his otherwise spectacular golf career. And the PGA of America now has a committee to pick the new Ryder Cup captain. So stay tuned. We probably haven't heard the last of the story as more and more just keeps coming out a little bit at a time. The 2014 Ryder Cup will go down as one of the most famous in the history of Ryder Cups. And maybe it's just what the U.S. needs to get its act in gear to start winning some of these things again. It's tough enough to win a Ryder Cup when everyone is pulling together. But when the two main cogs are opposing one another, it's just damn near impossible, Carlos. And that winds up the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. And, Carlos, United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. It also has instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers you discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations and even earn travel vouchers to spend on site. This is a great piece for getaways or group travel or whatever you're going to do with your golf buddies. You also get free membership to MyGolf, Golf in the U.S., which offers you discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. It also has a site for for sale by owner, which you can sell your used or equipment and earn up to a 50% sales credit and these kind of things. So visit theunitedgolfnetwork.com today and check out products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
Created by entrepreneurs to give golfers the opportunity to play golf, make money, and enjoy life. UnitedGolfNetwork.com. Visit it there. And they brought us the Par 5 News. Let's go right now for our VIG segment, the very important guest of the week. And we have a very important one. She's the CEO at Cindy Reed Golf Enterprises Limited. She's Cindy Reed, and she's acknowledged as the world's number one female golf instructor. And the knowledge and expertise that she has garnered over the past 25 years in the golf industry would see off many of her male counterparts too. Her internationally respected teaching philosophy has taken her all over the world and has brought her to China to develop champion golfers and grow the game of golf in Asia. So Fred was with her, made the interview. How about this interview with Cindy Reed, Fred?
Well, Carlos, as you know, we have a keen interest in the Chinese golf scene. We really feel like there's a huge future there. And we have a real treat for our listeners tonight. Cindy Reed has been in China for many years and actively works in the golf business over there. She now resides in Shanghai full-time and has several training academies and driving ranges and operations. She's going to offer our listeners a unique perspective on the golf scene in China through actually being there for several years. And it was just a real treat to talk to her. We talked for several minutes before the interview and quite a bit after. We're going to stay in contact with her even, and she's going to do some other things for us as we go forward. But really a great interview and gives us some good ideas on what's going over there. So if you want to go ahead and play that, Carlos.
We have Cindy Reed with us here today. She is the author of several golf instructional books and is a PGA professional Class A teacher, and she's currently residing in China, in Shanghai. She has instructional academies there and has been working with the Chinese youth to develop golf over in China. And Cindy, we are so happy to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Fred. I'm excited to share some of my insights on golf in China with everybody.
You know, golf has taken you all over the world, and you've now kind of settled in Shanghai in China. How did that come to be? How did you happen to settle there?
Actually, my first 5 years was 5 years was at Mission Hills in Shenzhen, China, and how I got to that point was through a friend who was on an internship, who is the owner of Mission Hills in China, which I didn't know at the time. So I became friends with him, and I just gave him free golf lessons. And he was a Chinese gentleman whose father had sent him over to train at the PGA Tour to learn about operations and day-to-day daily operations, basically, of how to run a golf course. And I became friends with him, and then I didn't realize that, you know, it's funny when you do stuff for people, sometimes you don't realize who they really are or what they do. You never ask. And I was giving free lessons to him and helping him understand about the game of golf and working on his golf. And then he happened to ask me to come to China one day, and I said, what for, you know? And then he just basically said, I'd love for you to teach in China at my father's facility. And I didn't realize it was the biggest in the world at that time. And I had no idea exactly what was going on with what his mission was. And now he's, you know, owner and operator of all the Mission Hills. And they have 216 holes. They have two resorts, one in Shenzhen and one in Haikou, China. And both of them are very popular, very well-known for developing the game of golf. And they've done a really nice job with you know, giving people opportunity to understand what the game of golf is all about by, you know, having that many golf courses. So that's what happened. And then I was at Mission Hills. I had my own academy there for 5 years. And then I wanted to grow a little bit more as far as my brand. And I decided to go out on my own and in my own business in China. And now I'm in Shanghai, and I have two golf academies in Shanghai, and I'm in the process of, you know, working on developing driving ranges and academies, as well as hiring people for golf courses as well. So it's been an interesting journey. I think the biggest reason why I'm over here in China is, number one was the opportunity. I took it. Number two is I've developed my brand. And number three, it's one of the most incredible life experiences that I've ever had. And every single day is a challenge, and every single day is different. It never is the same.
You were telling me that you just come off spending a week in Thailand working with the Men's Asian Q School. Are you seeing some good players that are over there trying to get on the Asian Tour? Are you seeing some players that can eventually make it to the maybe the Web.com or the PGA Tour or will make a name on the international stage?
You know, I saw a lot of great players. You know, you had a lot of Koreans in the field. You had, a dozen Americans. You had a lot of Australians, but a lot of Koreans. And there's just a lot of them. They were there. And it's interesting to see how they had their work ethic and what they're doing. But, you know, you've got to be shooting in the 60s all four rounds. I mean, it's serious business. And I think that a lot of people think that in Asia, you know, the scores aren't as low, but they're pretty low. I mean, they're not day in and day out every week, but it's better than it used to be when I first started coming over, going there. So it's a lot better. And yeah, it's going to just, I think that someday they will be on the web.com and the PGA Tour, but it's going to take time because the golf courses are very, very different in Asia than they are in America or Australia or Europe or wherever. They're just very different. And I always say to myself that these players that are playing on these golf courses over here in Asia have to really, really change their method of playing the game and learning how to score, because the courses are so different every week in and week out. It's not as well manicured sometimes, so they have to learn the speed of the greens. They change every week, and not saying that the PGA Tour doesn't, because the PGA Tour has change of the greens all the time, from Bermuda to bent, whatever. But it's just a lot. It's a different world over here, so it's a little bit more. The traveling is different. It's just all very different. So the players over here, you've got to really want it, and they really, really have to work hard for it.
From the men's side, my contention has been that there's such a large population there that, now the golf is in such its infancy there in China that, just the odds, the sheer numbers dictate that there will be a large contingent of Chinese players that will end up coming to the U.S. Tour and possibly being a real force here. But in discussion with you, you were thinking that maybe that may not be the case.
Well, I think you have to look at China as a whole. Yes, there are a lot of numbers. A lot of people live here. Yes, I live in Shanghai, and there's 27 million people from my apartment. And I say to myself, okay, there's 27 million people right here where I live, and I just want 0.1% to come in and take golf lessons. But those 0.1% don't have the actual they don't know what golf is. They don't understand it. Education is first in this country. Sports is second. Education is so important for these kids to have that sports is second. But it's changing. And I've noticed it over the 8 years that I've been here. It's changing every single year. But that's because the government is opening up the doors towards sports, such as soccer, which is football over here. They call it football, soccer there in America. There's just so many other sports that they're starting to introduce to the Chinese people, and you're seeing a lot more people running and a lot more people getting into fitness and all of that. So looking at the men and the boys that are coming up in the country, I think it's they just don't have opportunity, and so they don't come from real rich families. So their background comes from, a whole different demographic than what I'm used to. And I think that the body structure of the young boys when they get older is very thin. It's not very big. And, I was telling you, when I was watching the HSBC, I could see the difference in the body structure and the strength off the tee of the distance. Even though a lot of the Chinese have very good distance, they've got so much more to do, and I think that has to do a lot with, the history of golf in China is only 25 to 26 years old, and so you got to look at the whole entire history of the game. How did they learn the game? These people are learning the game not today, because all of us are here. They used to learn the game by reading books, not watching TV, because they don't watch TV, learning from books, reading books, and how many golf instructional books are translated in Chinese, besides myself and a few others, like Butch Harmon and them. But how they have learned the game is so different than how we have learned and what I've done in the U.S. So I can see the future with the young boys, but it's going to take longer than the young girls, because the young girls there's a lot more women in the country, and a lot of the young girls' parents are giving them a lot of opportunity. But still then it goes back to, actual finances and status versus the sport.
Speaking of women, we've seen Chan Chan Fang, do very well on the LPGA Tour. There's another couple of young ladies that have started hitting the top of the leaderboard also on the LPGA Tour. And you feel that maybe the women have a better chance of being a force on the LPGA Tour than maybe the men do on the PGA Tour in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Yes, definitely. That's my own opinion. People may say, oh, you know, I don't think that's right, but I live here day in and day out. I'm in the field. I can see what happens and how they go from one point to another and what they're doing. And I think that the reason why is because there's no structured program except for what I'm doing and a couple of other places, a couple of other golf academies are doing in the country and the national Chinese national team. You know, there are some programs that are giving these kids opportunity to fulfill their dreams. And then the thing that's very interesting to me is it's great to see the China PGA here because it's giving the Chinese a chance to play in tournaments. Not a whole lot of tournaments, but you got to start somewhere. And I'm sure it'll be a bigger tour as eventually as, you know, as the years go by. But you don't have a lot of junior events where kids can just throw the clubs on their shoulders after school and go play 18 holes. It's not like that. There's a few public golf courses. Very few. I don't even think they call them public, I mean private, but they say they're public. I don't know. So the lack of being a member at a golf course, the lack of golf courses and the programs, there's no programs for kids to be doing what we've done in America. So I think the women will become a little bit will grow faster on the LPGA than the men on the PGA Tour. You have to look at everything. And being over here as long as I have, I've seen a lot of players come and go, and everybody goes to the United States for golf. That's the dream.
Let's take a little different tack for a minute. You've been over there. You've seen a lot of the area. For golfers who, you know, they've been here, they've been there, they've been all the places, but maybe they haven't been to China yet to check out golf over there. Talk a little bit about the travel opportunities and where should you visit and what should you try to do when you're there?
Oh my gosh, there's so much to do. It's depending on where you go in the country. From down south to up north to really up north towards Mongolia, Beijing, Mongolia, all those areas down there, up there, excuse me. And then you've got Hong Kong and you've got Shenzhen and then you've got the middle of China. You've got Dalian up north. You've got Shanghai. You've got, there's so many, so many. The country's so big. So you've got your second and third tier cities. Then you've got your big cities like Shanghai, Shenzhen, Hong Kong, Beijing. So it's a combination of if somebody wanted to come over to China and play golf, I would start up north and travel down south. And I would go from the north to the south, and I would experience all the golf courses that are rated in the Chinese golf course book, like we do in the United States. You have a golf course guide, and there's many, many golf courses, and there are some beautiful golf courses here in China. It's just a matter of having someone who knows what they're doing and knows the courses who can help those people really experience a great travel schedule along with golf. And along with that, in Beijing, you've got the history of China. It's very a lot of history, the Beijing Wall. You've got the Forbidden City. You've got, it goes on and on with the history. And then you got Shanghai, which is the financial world. It's more of the fashion world along with the financial world. And then you go to the second and third tier cities, and that's a whole different world there. Then you go down to Hong Kong, and then you get into Shenzhen. So it's a combination of a lot of things that you can go through as far as culture, because every province has a different type of food, from spicy to non-spicy to real hot spicy. And there's so many provinces that have different foods and different cultures and different dialects. So I think if somebody came over here, they could really experience great golf, experience great culture, and learn about the Chinese people and how they live and what it's all about. But they have to be over here for at least a good month if you want to do all that.
So you travel quite a bit internationally. You played on tours. You spent some time playing on the LPGA. You played the Japanese LPGA Tour. You've won professional events in your career. You're ranked the number one golfer women's female golf instructor for three consecutive years in Florida. You had the unique distinction of being the first female to coach a player on the U.S. PGA Tour. But for the last several years now, you have dedicated, you have, you're living, you consider yourself a resident of China now rather than Florida or the U.S. So you like it there. You feel very comfortable there.
Actually, I do. I have started my business 8 years ago in China, and it's been, yes, I do. I feel very comfortable. I speak the language. I'm not perfect at the language. I don't speak it fluently, but if I want to give a golf lesson in Chinese, I can. I still have much more to learn. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is about the importance of doing business in China, and that has intrigued me the most. Besides teaching golf and developing players, I think my career has gone from a player to a golf coach to a writer to an author to this, that. Now I'm more into developing the business and the brand and then hiring the right people to run all that for me. So it's business has intrigued me a lot, the golf business over here. So it's been quite of an experience. I really have loved it, and I think the food keeps me here because it's so healthy. The food keeps me here, and the shopping. But
well, Cindy is the author of several, as she mentioned. She's written several golf instructional books. One is Cindy Reed's Ultimate Guide to Golf for Women, and also Get Yourself in Golf Shape, with a foreword written by DJ Singh. So. Look for those if you're looking for some educational golf reading. And Cindy, we just want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us today. I think it's evening over there where you're at. It's early morning here in Toledo, Ohio. So, and I've got about 5 inches of snow on the ground, and we're getting some more. So I'm sure it's much nicer in Shanghai where you're at.
Well. Thank you very much, Fred, for everything. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you, and it's always great to share some experiences with people who have never been over to China or don't quite understand it, but hear a lot of stuff about China and golf, and it's just nice to, you know, speak to you with, you know, someone who actually does live here. So, and by the way, it's cold here, too, so but it's not snowing.
Well, again, thank you very much, and we want to reserve the right to be in contact with you, and hopefully you'll be our China expert, and maybe we'll have you be able to have you on the show again down the road, and really wonderful talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Fred. Have a good day today, and I am going to bed. Good night.
Good night, Cindy, and yeah, it's warm here. But both of you to know it's warm down here.
Right. Stop it.
Hey, what a great interview, man. And like you mentioned at the top of the interview, we've been following China closely since we started here our show and before that. And really to get her insight and knowing more about what is going down there. And it's just awesome the way that China is developing right now into a golfing country for it.
Yeah, she was saying her biggest challenge is working with the government there. She had developed a junior program and had quite a few juniors coming along, had worked with them, had built the program over a 3-5 year period. All of a sudden, the government came in and took all her students and said, okay, we're going to put them in the government program now. You can't, you know, she mentioned about juniors don't really have the opportunity to play. You know, here we have junior high golf teams. We have junior programs in the summertime. We have high school golf teams. That's not the case there. They are very lean very heavily towards education and sports and extracurricular athletics. That just doesn't play into the educational side of things for them. So It's a whole different world, but she seems to really enjoy it. Like I said, we had a great conversation off air that I didn't tape, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more from her. So she's even agreed to maybe write a couple pieces for us, and we'll look forward to those. So, I'm glad we made a new friend there.
Great. So there you have it. That was Cindy Reed, our VIG of the week. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have the practice range, and we're going to talk a little bit about Tiger Woods. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our practice range where Fred and I take a theme and we start talking about it, taking shots at it. So let's start this week. It's all about Tiger Woods, and almost every week we should be doing that. I mean, the PGA Tour fans will get to see the sport's biggest name. A little earlier this season, like Fred said before, Tiger Woods begins his fight to reclaim the world number one ranking very early this year. You know, while this year's PGA Tour schedule is already underway with its traditional doubleheader tournaments in Hawaii, the press stopped when Woods recently announced that he will begin his season at the Waste Management Phoenix Open and the Farmers Insurance Open in late January and early February. He typically avoids that early season West Coast swing except for the Farmers Insurance Open, which he has won 7 times, but he has committed to playing the highly attended Waste Management Phoenix Open for the first time since 2001. You know, even various golfers noted their surprise and excitement, more to the notion that he's still garnering big-time attention. Maybe not the big one that he had, but he's still garnering big-time attention. His presence at the tournament will create a more frenzied atmosphere, if that can be possible there, for the Phoenix area, which will already host in the Super Bowl that weekend. Last year, the tickets topped the $600,000 for 4 days. What if they now sell 200,000 tickets per day? What if they sell 1 million tickets for the week? Well, you know, with Woods and the Super Bowl providing a boost, we'll have to wait and see, but it doesn't seem to be out of the question. But now, what about his health? He's finally healthy, apparently, and also seems to have found his old swing again. Under his new instructor, Chris Como, he has been trying to return to his old swing that served him well during his years as an amateur golfer and early professional. His swing is longer and more upright right now, and he seemed to be swinging freely and without any pain a few weeks ago when he played at the Heroes World Challenge. Fred, let's reflect on this. In his last 3 fully healthy seasons, he has 14 wins and 52 starts. So it's reasonable to think that if his body complies, we're in for another big one from Woods. That's a big if. The big cat turned 39 on December 30th and will undoubtedly be looking for that 15 major win heading into the 2015 season, and he needs it. As it stands, he needs to win a major this upcoming season to remain even with Jack Nicklaus on the trek to 18. The Golden Bear had 15 majors at the age of 39. Notice that I call him the sport's biggest name and biggest draw. He will always fascinate, always. But with the rise of another potential historic figure, you know, that kid from Northern Ireland, I don't remember his name, and the bloodbath that is any tournament of any significance these days, his odds of being a factor continue to plummet. Fred, all that means is that he'll probably win 9 times, including 2 majors this year.
I wouldn't bet against him. I doubt if he'll win 9 times, but, you know, I could see him win 2-3 times this year. Major, I don't know. But anyhow, what does Tiger Woods' appearance in the Waste Management Phoenix Open mean? Well, as you mentioned, number one, it gives us a good gauge of his health. You know, can we expect a healthy Tiger Woods in 2015? Although his appearance at the Hero World Challenge appeared to be pain-free, his short game did cause some mental distress. If he is pain-free, will he play in more events to get ready for the Masters? Many golf pundits have felt for years that he needed more reps early in the year prior to the Masters to be at peak performance. Well, what is his tentative projected schedule? Well, normally he opens the year in the Middle East, where he picks up a large appearance fee and then plays at Torrey, where he wins most years. Then the match play, the Honda Classic, and Doral in Florida before the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He added the Honda Classic played in his backyard since moving to southern Florida a few years ago. His options this year, he has already announced he's going to play in Phoenix. Then he's going to play the next week at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines the following week. This will give him a good barometer of his physical condition after two consecutive weeks on tour. The AT&T National Pro-Am at Pebble Beach is the following week. It gets cold at Pebble this time of year, and besides, he has to play with amateurs. Did you happen to notice the Pro-Am part of the tournament name there in Pebble? The AT&T National Pro-Am. Well, Tiger does not particularly enjoy playing with amateurs, and that would make three consecutive weeks of tournament play in addition to that. So even if the back is sound, the legs may not take that much walking anyway. Although he has played at Pebble before, it's doubtful, unless some deep pocket sponsor wants to pay him a bunch of money to do a clinic or an appearance in conjunction with the AT&T National Pro-Am, that he will show up at the Monterey Peninsula area that week. The following week, the Northern Trust is held at Riviera in beautiful L.A., La La Land, and it's possible, but again, doubtful too, that he would play there. He hates Riviera and has never played well there at any time. Besides, with the schedule change, and the WGC match play has now moved to the end of April, the tour heads directly to Florida for the Honda Classic, which he more than likely will play in. The WGC Cadillac at Doral is the next week after Honda, and then the Valspar on that tight, tough Innisbrook golf course, which I doubt we'll see Tiger on anytime soon. Then Tiger will take that week off, and then the Arnold Palmer is the next week at Bay Hill, which I believe he kind of likes playing there. Oh, yeah, he's won it eight times in the last 14 years. So if he's healthy, he's going to be at Bay Hill. Then the tour moves away from Florida over to Texas for 2 weeks before the Masters. So, you know, it gets pretty windy in San Antonio. Pros don't like playing in the wind. It screws up their swing. And the shell is the week preceding at Houston before the Masters. I just don't see Tiger playing in Texas. But if he feels the need for one more event prior to Augusta, he'll fire up the jet and head out there. But I just don't see him doing it. So anyway, Carlos, here's what I see. I see him playing first in Phoenix, then Torrey, the Honda Classic, Doral, and then Bay Hill, and then the Masters. That'll give him a good run up to Augusta. Give golf fans a chance to see him. The PGA Tour, NBC, and the Golf Channel are all going to be happy prior to picking up the TV coverage prior to CBS picking up for the Masters. So that's what I see for the Tiger run up to the Masters.
I cannot say I don't agree with you, but really, it looks like he definitely that might be his schedule. And what I think is that he more than the loss maybe of the possible sponsorship and big fee in the desert, he might want to skip that big long trip and be here and start earlier like he should be doing here in the States and get more reps. He really looked, like you said, in the Hero World Challenge, his short game was painful. That was the only painful thing there. But I think that he needs more. He looks fit. Hopefully he is. But he needs more tournament match toughness. You know, that's what he needs to get, and that's why I think he's going to get more reps. So maybe he'll get a tournament or two more than the ones that you're saying and playing there. Like you say, there might be a big sponsor that will get him in.
Well, we'll see. I think it's doubtful. I think he's probably pretty well set. And like I say, unless the game's really rusty, unless it's just not coming around by the time of the of Doral, he might add one of the Texas on there. But I don't think we'll see him much more than what we have in the past, really. And the only reason he's playing in Phoenix is because he didn't get a big appearance fee to go someplace else. It was rumored he could have gone down to South America, but they weren't willing to pay him quite as much money, and, you know, South America isn't all that great to go to. So I guess he decided to go out to Phoenix. It's a much shorter hop on the plane.
Depends on where South America he should go. I can tell him.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, that wraps up our practice range. We still have 3.5 minutes to go. So, Fred, if you want to get some more in, I have one short piece of news that I would like to share before we go.
Why don't you go ahead, and then I'll finish out real quick.
Perfect. I just tweeted yesterday about, you know, I'm a real tech geek. You know, last week was the 2015 International Consumers Electronics Show, and Epson announced last Monday what is called the M-Tracer Golf Swing Analyzer. And this is around golf. This is essentially a wearable for the golf club. It attaches to the bottom of the golf grip and collects data in real time about the swing. It tracks and records the swing path, speed, phase angle at impact, tempo, and other measurements that track performance. This analyzer is intended for all skill levels and gives feedback whether you're a beginner or an advanced player. It also has a built-in GPS and keeps track of the routes traveled, laps, and other measurements. It works with a corresponding iOS or Android app, which houses all the data from each swing. So this app will create a 3D image and the swing path and then compares it to one of the professional golfers. So users can see how they can improve. The device, which runs on a built-in battery, rechargeable battery, sees up to 200 swings at once. So that's great because I'll be short there, maybe getting that in one game. So we'll see what happens. I might get one when it starts running out in March. It'll cost $299, Fred.
Yeah, I was on a conference call with Billy Horschel the other night, and he was talking about a techie thing that he's using, an app to get measurements and keep some stats for his to help improve his game. So it's all the rage. Hey, I want to mention congratulations to Barbara Nicklaus, who the USGA just announced last week that will recognize Mrs. Nicklaus with the Bob Jones Award during the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay in June. The award is presented annually since 1955. It's the USGA's highest honor. It recognizes an individual who demonstrates a spirit, personal character, and respect for the game exhibited by Jones, who was the winner of 9 USGA championships. Often referred to as the First Lady of Golf, Barbara Nicklaus has skillfully used her influence as the wife of 18-time major champion Jack Nicklaus for nearly 55 years to generate attention to youth-related charitable causes and volunteerism. So a very nice honor for her, and we congratulate her, and it's well-deserved. Give a little tease here for next week, Carlos. If everything goes right, we are going to have Susie Whaley as an interview this week, and we're going to get a chance to talk to her about women's issues in the games and some of her pet projects as she moves up the hierarchy of the PGA of America. Ricky and Rory are in the same group in Abu Dhabi this week, so that will be must-see. You want to set your DVRs for that. No fun in Phoenix. The tournament, the waste management people have banned the players and caddies giving out freebies at number 16. So, you know, do not feed the animals. Keep hands and arms away from the fences at all times. They're at number 16. And last item that I have, Butch Harmon recently worked with Dustin Johnson and said that the 30-year-old has been earnestly preparing for his 2014-2015 debut. He seems to have his head on straight and is in great shape. I think he's going to start at Torrey Pines in February. Johnson's manager David Winkel told GolfChannel.com on Tuesday his player's return would be dictated by the birth of his first child, a boy who is due this month. Carlos, that wraps up what I have for the January 13th Back Nine Report.
Back Niners, that wrap up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. Don't forget to join us again next week here on Block Talk Radio. My name is Carlos Torres with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.